Let's take our Bibles tonight, and if you would, go with me, please, and grab a couple things. Grab Proverbs 31 in one hand, Proverbs 31 in one hand, and then let's also go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Proverbs 31 and 1 Peter in the New Testament. So we got one in the old, one in the new. Proverbs 31, and then also 1 Peter chapter number 3. Okay, all right. I'm going to put my bookmarker in Proverbs 31. And then I'm going to get 1 Peter 3 in the New Testament. All right, now I want you to go to your handout. And I want you to get the very first statement, if you would, on your handout. It said on our marriage series, we're doing a marriage series called Making Marriage Work. And boy, we've been building on this thing. And it says in your handout that we learned that while submission is not the wife's core role in marriage, it is a godly response to her husband's role as a servant leader. And it energizes him in his role. You know, God made men to be the leader in the home, in the relationship. That's what God created man to do, to be that leader, that servant leader, to be a godly servant leader, to set the pace, to set the example in the home. We also learned that the wife's core role, okay, is very active. It's very vibrant. It's very contributing to the home. She's a helper, which in the Bible, many times the word helper is that's God that's referred to as a helper. And so she is a helper like God is, in the sense that God comes and helps those in need. And the man has some needs that the wife is the only one that can meet those needs. And she's there to help. She's a helper. She's a husband lover, a child lover. And she brings that into the home. She brings some things into the home that, you know, quite frankly, the man has trouble with. She brings that support, that nurturing spirit, that love, that compassion, that concern. And boy, it's just so crucial. And so that's her core role. Now, the question is this: does the husband have a godly response to his wife's core role? We saw her response to his role as leader is one of submission. She's willing to follow his godly leadership and to let him lead the way. Well, what's his response to her core role, which is one of child lover, husband lover, support, nurturer, lover? She's that compassionate one. What's his response to her role? What's going to be the response that a husband can have to his wife that's going to energize her in her role in the home, that's going to energize her in her function in the home? Well, the Bible clearly teaches, in your handout there, it says that your Bible teaches that the husband's response should be one of praise. That's the response that he has to her role. So her response to his role as leader is to submit, to follow his leadership. His response to her role is praise. And boy, I hope tonight, guys, that you will catch a glimpse of the power and the importance of this godly response to your wife's role. I just really hope tonight that you'll catch a vision of this and you'll understand how important this is. And if you're dating, you know, you can already begin to implement what I'm going to teach you tonight. If you're engaged, you can begin to implement what I'm going to teach you tonight. And so I encourage you to really listen closely. This is really to the men tonight. And I want you to listen very closely, men, to what we have to say from God's Word. Because it's a very important principle. In 1 Peter 3, if you're there, 1 Peter 3, 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," that is, dwell with your wives, "according to knowledge." And then I want you to notice this phrase, "giving" what unto the wife? Honor. Now, the Bible says husbands are to honor their wives. Now, what does that mean in practical terms? All right, that sounds great. I need to honor my wife. But what does that mean in practical terms? Well, here's what it means. Here's what it means. It means that you are going to treat her with respect. You're going to treat her with dignity. You are not going to treat her like a doormat. You are going to nurture. You're going to encourage her. You're going to praise her as a person with thoughts, with valid thoughts and valid feelings and valid opinions and with a person with volition. You're going to take your wife, you're going to place her right beside you, not under you, not behind you. You're going to take your wife, place her right beside you, equal in value and equal in importance. And that's a good place for an amen right there, guys. Kind of got to prime the pump a little bit on this one. Equal in value and equal in importance. That means when it says to honor your wife, what that means in practical terms is that you stand by your wife. You remind her often that apart from her, you and your family could not make it, at least not well. Amen. That she is the critical difference. And that's what it means to honor your wife. And the thing is, she knows all that stuff. She knows that she's critical to the success of the home. She knows that you value her that way. Why? Because she hears it from you. She hears it constantly from you. Go to Proverbs 31, and let me show you something here. Proverbs 31, the Bible is so practical. The Bible is such a practical book. It is the answers to problems. You want to know why marriages fall apart? They don't follow the Bible. You know why lives fall apart? They don't follow the Bible. The Bible is just as practical today as when it was written. And the Bible has the answers. I want you to look at Proverbs 31, and it's a key passage that describes the husband's response. And that's what we're talking about tonight. The husband's response to his wife's core role. Now, as you know, this passage of Scripture describes the virtuous woman. The woman with virtue. And it describes a woman here who fears the Lord more than she fears her culture. And that godly fear of the Lord has many positive implications for her family. It has implications for her as well. She is often pulled out of the spotlight with her real work being out of sight. Nobody really sees it. So if a woman, if her most valuable contributions, as we've discussed in this series, if her most valuable contributions are really a work of the soul and the heart, and it's not something that's visible that just everybody's going to see, then how does a woman survive? Here's how. It's by constantly she is reminded of how important she is. She's constantly being honored by those who receive the benefits of her service in the home. Service that nobody else sees. And I want you to notice in Proverbs 31 what the Bible says. Look at verse number, let's begin looking to verse 26. No, let's go up to verse 25. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor. She's a strong woman. She's not weak. Let me tell you something right now. Last week we talked about women having a meek and quiet spirit. And what did I tell you? I said meek does not mean what? Weak. And do you see that right there? See what it says? Verse 25, what's her clothing? What are the two things there? Strength and honor. She's a strong woman. Strong. She's honorable. And notice it says, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. She's not, you know, virtuous woman, she's not stupid. She's not ignorant. She is wise. But I mean, she's sharp. She's on top of things. And she's strong, she's honorable, she opens her mouth with wisdom, she's bright, she's intelligent. And notice it says in verse 26, and this here you catch a little glimpse here of what a woman brings to the home so many times that men struggle with. And in her tongue is the law of what? Kindness. Kindness. Guys, we struggle sometimes just saying kind words. We struggle sometimes, you know? Our kids could hit three home runs in the game, and they're 3 for 4 with one strikeout. We want to talk about the strikeout on the way home. And the wife doesn't even remember the strikeout. All she remembers is the three home runs, you know. And that's just the way many times it is. Guys tend to be a little more harsh and a little more, we tend to be a little more critical and just a little more demanding. But the Bible says this virtuous woman, in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's kind. In verse 27, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. Buddy, she takes serious her responsibility to guide the home. Did you know, let me ask you a question. Whose responsibility is it to guide the home? That was a trick question. All right, I can see we're going to have to turn to another verse. Stay in Proverbs 31 and go to 1 Timothy. Okay, I hadn't even planned on doing this and saying that, but since we're on it, go to 1 Timothy. I want to show you something here that may kind of blow some of you guys away here, okay? First Timothy. Now I can't find the verse. Yeah, here it is. I was right. 1 Timothy 5. All right, look at verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children. What's the next three words? Is that a contradiction? Does the Bible contradict itself? Is the Bible confused here? Yes or no? No. Does it say she's the leader? Yes or no? No, but it does say she what? She guides the house. Now, isn't that true on a practical level? That's just true. You say, well, why should she guide the house? She's better at it than us. She's better. Listen, my wife is the glue that keeps everything together at the house. When she's sick or she's out of commission, everything unravels. Everything falls apart. My wife guides the house. Now, yes, if you ask her, she'd tell you in a heartbeat, yeah, Dan's the leader. Dan sets the pace, and if he's the leader, and we look to him for leadership. But it's kind of like an illustration would be, I lead the church as a senior pastor, but so much of, like Walk Through Bethlehem. I don't guide Walk Through Bethlehem. Am I the leader? Am I the leader of the church? Yes, but do I guide Walk Through Bethlehem? No, that's under the leadership of Pastor Larry and many of our able leaders, And so they guide it, see? And so when you're in leadership, that doesn't necessarily mean you're guiding the day-to-day managing of the house. He said the wives, see, they're guiding that day-to-day management of the household, making sure that things are done right and properly and everyone's where they're supposed to be. And that's great. Women tend to be much more organized that way. And so the woman guides the house, the Bible says there in verse 14. So I wanted you to get that. I wanted you to see that because I think we forget that. See, again, her role in the home is very active. It's very contributing. It's very vital to the functioning of the home. See, that's why I say her role isn't just submit. No, her role is very active, very vital in contributing. Her response to his role is to submit and follow his leadership. But she has a very active contributing role of her own. Now, what's the husband's response to her role as she guides the home, as she's the glue that keeps it all stuck together, as she keeps the wheels spinning at the house, so to speak, as she keeps things functioning and moving along? What's the husband's response to her? Look at Proverbs 31. And by the way, that is your job, ladies. That's what you need to be doing. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 27. Look what it says about the virtuous woman. It says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. It says in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And so not only does he call her blessed with his lips, it says, and he what? He praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Wow, that is so good. So what's the husband's response to her role? Says here, praise. You see, nobody really sees what she does except the husband and the kids in the home. I don't see what goes on in Larry's home. I don't see what goes on in your home, Rob. I don't see what goes on in your home. And so really nobody sees what she does except, you know, her husband and her children. And by the way, the kids rise up and call her blessed according to that passage. But you know what I found? Most of the time they don't do that till they're about 25, 30 years old. And they start having kids of their own. Then they look back and they say, boy, mama was something else. But they don't usually have enough sense in childhood to really see and appreciate all that mom does. So that really only leaves one person. Who does it leave? The husband. He should understand what she does. He should be the one to praise her. And just as her submission from just as her submissive spirit, like Christ had, just as that submissive spirit frees the husband to carry out his role as a godly leader in the home, his praise of her will free and empower her to fulfill her role. And both responses, submission and praise, are life-giving to the marriage. In your handout, it says a wife needs and deserves praise, and a lot of it. You see, the woman should constantly receive honor from her husband and affirmation from the husband for the husband-loving and the child-loving support that she imparts. Nobody can fully appreciate her or value her like you can. And so therefore, guys, we better constantly tell our wives how important she is, how significant is her awesome power of being there for you and your children. In your handout, it says, if not, if we don't do that, she will most likely feel the way that too many women feel, that her support is either not needed or it's not important. Many women feel that way, and they kind of feel like their life has no value and has no significance and has no importance, even though it does. That's a satanic deception, okay? But why do women feel that way sometimes? Well, could it be that somebody very special in her life has forgotten to tell her how vital her contributions are to the home? Could that be why? Let me say something right now that I want to hit on that I don't think I've really mentioned this thus far, and I want to get rid of some false ideas here. A lack of submission in the wife is not the root problem in most marriages today. Now, most of us men don't get this. You know, and the guys I talk to, it's funny because whenever someone has marriage problems, and of course I've been here 20 years, so I've seen so much through the years, and almost always the guy thinks that the major problem in the marriage is that nagging and rebellious wife of mine. Let me just say this, okay? Men, you're the leader, and your wife responds to your leadership. If you provide a selfish, dictatorial, self-serving leadership, don't be surprised if you get a less than godly response from your wife. Does that make it right? That doesn't make her ungodly response right. I'm not excusing it. The Bible clearly teaches, and we learned last week in 1 Peter 3, that it's through her chaste conversation and her fear of God and her meek and quiet spirit that she wins her husband. So it's not right for her to respond ungodly. All I'm simply saying is the reality is, don't be surprised if you get a less than godly response when you provide self-serving leadership. Many men have a very self-serving style of leadership, and then when they get a less than positive response from her, many times men are egos, and men have big egos. And many times as men, we're so blind to our own inadequacies and our own failed leadership style. We're blind to it. We don't get it. We are convinced that the problem is her. And 9 times out of 10, it's us because we're the leader. And everything kind of feeds off of the leader. But here's the neat thing about it. In your handout, it says, guys, when you strive to exemplify servant leadership and you respond to her role with praise, You'll be surprised at how many of your marriage problems will disappear. God made you to be the leader, and you set the pace, guys, in the relationship. Now, you may be sitting here tonight, and you may be thinking, so what do I do? What do you want me to do? How do I go about praising her? You want me to give her some flowers? You want me to write her a touchy-feely note? Want me to buy her some candy? Want me to give her a shopping day at the mall so she can get away from the kids? Isn't it funny how guys always want something to do? Just tell me what to do. A, B, C, you know, give me what to do and I'll do it. Now, let me just, those ideas aren't bad. Amen, ladies? But let me say this. Let me listen closely. Random and occasional acts of kindness cannot substitute for praise on an everyday basis. Without an everyday form of praise to your wife, and without an everyday form of honoring her, as the Bible says, special moments can ring hollow and can even appear a bit manipulative. I mean, when you don't show your wife any attention at all, and you don't show her any honor at all, and then all of a sudden you bring home a dozen flowers out of the blue, what's her response? What do you want? What do you want? You know, when you haven't said anything kind to her for 3 months, and then you write her this nice, warm, and fuzzy note, she says, all right, what'd you do? What'd you mess up? What did you charge on the Visa bill, you know? But you know what? When that honor is there and that praise is there on an everyday basis, then those special moments, see, are neat because it's real obvious that you really mean it. It's just kind of an outpouring of that love and affection that you have for that honor on a daily basis. It's just kind of a natural thing. It's special. So how can a husband praise his wife on an everyday basis? Well, go to Ephesians 5, and I'm going to show you a couple, just two things. Ephesians 5, and it's not going to be long. Ephesians 5, and I just want to give you two simple principles, guys. I want to give you two specific ways that a man can honor and praise his wife on an everyday basis. And you can honor and praise your wife in this day-to-day living that we do of married life. Day-to-day, day-in, day-out living. Let me just give you the first one. Let me have you write it in. Number one, the first everyday way to honor her is equal treatment. Equal treatment. Can you imagine for a moment if you just simply live from the head up? What do you mean by that? Well, I want you to imagine a human being whose self-interest ends. It's from here to here, and then it ends from here down. Only the head matters. But whatever the head wants, the head gets. If the head wants a shampoo and a shave, it gets it. If the head wants a pair of $300 sunglasses, it gets it. If the head wants a massage, it gets it. The head is pampered, the head is primped, and it is puffed up. But oh, the rest of the body. From the neck down, things are in sad shape. The body's bloated and flabby because it never gets the exercise it needs. It smells to high heaven, and sores and infections have broken out all over it because it never gets a bath. The body has scars all over it where cuts and scrapes were never attended to. The fingernails and the toenails are dirty and they got grime all underneath them. The teeth are, you all know that's the head, so the teeth got brushed. All right. Forget that. Scratch. Edit that, please. But you got the idea, right? You live just from the head up. Whatever the head wants, it gets. But from the neck down, sad. Oh, man. You, from the neck down, I mean the body is neglected. The body is mistreated to the point of abuse.
But boy, that head's pretty. It's pretty. Now, would you want a body like that? No.
Now, Paul makes an interesting statement here when he says in verse 29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh." No healthy individual lives from the head up. But now get this. Yet the man who fails to love his wife does exactly that. He treats himself one way because he's the head. But then he treats his wife completely differently. Ephesians 5:28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own," what? "Bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." I want you to get a statement in your handout. It says, Ephesians 5:28 teaches that Christ-like love means treating your wife with the same respect, concern, and care as you give yourself. It means that you treat your wife with the same respect, concern, and care as you give yourself. Look what it says again. "So ought men," I'm in verse 28, look at it, guys. "So ought men to love their wives," what's that next word? "As their own bodies." You know what that means when it says "as your own body"? It means that you love your wife by treating her equally. You don't live from the head up, you treat her equally. Now, that doesn't mean treating her like a man. That doesn't mean going out and getting her a fishing pole for her birthday, okay? You know, or a new basketball or softball bat for a birthday, okay? Doesn't mean you treat her like a man, but here's what equal treatment looks like. And I'm just going to throw some things out. Some of this doesn't apply at all to you. If any of it does apply, then just take it to heart, okay? I'm just going to throw some things out. What does equal treatment look like? Well, you could start by comparing the vehicle you drive to the one she drives. How about the time that you have to yourself versus the time she has to herself? What memberships is she able to enjoy? What hobbies is she able to pursue? How much money is budgeted for her personal use as compared to yours? What opinions is she free to express? What kind of language are your children allowed to use with her? And let me just park right there a minute. I think it's a pitiful shame when I hear kids that would never dream of back-talking and sassing and talking fresh to their dad. They'll do it to their mom, and dad will let them do it. That is sad. My boys had better never, ever disrespect my wife in my presence. Because I'm going to get right in their face, and I'm going to tell them, "That is my wife. You will treat her with respect. You don't ever let your, you don't ever allow your children to speak to your wife in a way or a tone that you would not let them speak to you." How are the in-laws? Ooh, I've gone to meddling now, haven't I? How are the in-laws and the friends permitted to treat her? What limits are placed on the amount of stress she has to put up with? What preference is given to her taste in music, sports, decorating, furniture, vacations, food, etc.? And in your handout it says, "So often a husband will order the family in terms of his priorities and his preferences, but neglect his wife completely." Man, we're bad about that, guys. Let's be honest. We order the family in terms of our preferences. We come first, what we want. And many times we give no thought to what she wants. And we treat her kind of like a second-class citizen. That's unequal treatment. And let me say something right now. No extravagant material gift on a birthday or an anniversary will make up for that kind of treatment. More, listen, you can buy your wife the fanciest gold necklace in Daytona Beach, Florida, but that is not what she's wanting. You can buy her a one-week trip to an exotic location for a getaway, but that does not make up for a daily lack of praise and honor. Do not think that you can buy your wife, because you cannot. Some people think money is the answer for everything, and it's just not. Some guys think, Some guys, you know, the wife will maybe be unhappy or be, you know, moody or nagging or whatever you want to call it. And some guys just can't figure it out. Well, I provide her a nice home and she's got a nice car and she gets clothes and, you know, and she get and I make money and bring do this and do that for her. You know what? Listen. Equal treatment. The everyday way to honor. And you know, like I said, no extravagant gift on a birthday or anniversary is going to make up for that if you don't treat her equally on an everyday basis. That's the everyday way to honor, equal treatment. Number two, the second everyday way to honor is constant comment. Constant comment. What does that mean? Well, Ephesians 5:29 says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Now let's stop there. In your handout, it says that this verse teaches that a man gives ongoing, regular care and attention to his body. And you do. Regular, ongoing care and attention is given to your body. Can you imagine a guy who goes, looks in the mirror, shaves all the whiskers off his face, brushes them teeth, gets his hair all washed and combed real nicely, puts maybe a little bit of cologne, you know, on his face, gets all spiffied up, and then doesn't do any of that again for 40 years. What's the point? The point is in your handout. It says, with the same constancy and regularity, with the same constancy and regularity, okay, I'm talking about a man taking care of his body, with that same constancy and regularity, here's what the Bible's teaching. A man should express love and appreciation to his wife. With the same constancy and regularity that you take care of your body, you show that love and appreciation to your wife. Constant comment. You see, a woman not only needs constant love, guess what? She needs to be told that she's loved constantly. You know, it's like, you ever heard the story about the guy that his wife said to him, "You never tell me you love me." He said, "Woman, I told you 40 years ago when we got married, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." That's not it, guys. That's not it. That guy's an idiot, all right? That's not it. Listen. One night of celebration, an anniversary, a birthday, you know, one night of celebration, one night of affection, a note on an anniversary, an arrangement of flowers on her birthday, just isn't going to cut it. Just not going to cut it. The Bible is teaching. The Bible, this book is teaching. Guys, just as regularly as you take care of your body, your wife needs this constant praise and constant comment and this constant honor. That affirmation from you opens up. It nourishes her soul and it helps her to grow. It helps her to develop in all that God intends for her to be. And it keeps her encouraged to keep doing what's right and what's best for the family. In your handout, it says, "Husbands, your wife will thrive on praise, but not on manipulation." Your wife will thrive on praise, but not on manipulation. If you try to butter her up with sweet words so you can get your own way, she'll probably see right through that. And let's just suppose you're married to an airheaded woman that doesn't see through it, okay? And so you butter her up, and she doesn't see through it because she's just, you know, maybe, you know. And you know what? Even if she doesn't see through it, is it right? It's not right. It's not right. It's deceptive. It's unhealthy. And that's no way to treat your wife, is to manipulate her through your words to get what you want. You see, Christ-like love is not manipulative, is it? Christ-like love, it doesn't manipulate us. Instead, what it means is it means treating your wife equally and constantly with the same care and the same concern that you give yourself. In your handout, it says, nobody can give the wife the honor and praise she deserves except the husband. No one else's praise matters quite so much. And then it says, by our everyday words and actions, we must communicate to our wives that we value who they are and what they do. And then the last statement here says that our wives, they have perhaps the most awesome assignment under heaven, and that is to be there for us and for our children. And they need to know that is the most awesome assignment under heaven. They need to know that we sincerely believe that too. I tell my wife quite often, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. The Bible says that her price is far above rubies. So what's our response to our wife's core role, guys? Praise. Praise. And I gave you two practical things there on an everyday way to honor your wife and praise her. Okay? All right, I hope this series has been a blessing to you. I hope it's been a help to you. And we're going to continue. We're not done. We've still got a couple more lessons we're going to do in the series. So next Sunday night, we'll be in Walk Through Bethlehem, so we won't meet. The 13th is Walk Through Bethlehem. We won't meet. So we won't meet again on Sunday night until the 20th of December. And so I'm not sure that I'll do anything that night on that. We may do kind of a Walk Through Bethlehem celebration service that night. So it realistically, it'll probably be after the first of the year, we'll get back into the marriage series. This Wednesday night, I'm going to give you the end of that eighth C in the 20 C's. Those of you who are actors and actresses, don't worry about it. I didn't finish that eighth one, so I can finish that in about 15 or 20 minutes, which is what Pastor Larry needs to get the actors and actresses in place. So Wednesday night, I want you to come. We'll finish up that eighth C, and then those of you who aren't an actor or actress, we'll put you in groups, and we'll have a tour guide take you through the city to give our people practice for that dress rehearsal Wednesday night. So if you're not going to be in here Wednesday because you're in the city, don't worry. It'll be online. We'll have the notes with the blanks filled in the back, so you'll be able to get that and make up and then be ready for the ninth C when we come back the next Wednesday. Okay?